Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Sue, do you know the name Leland Bittert?
No.
So he was Charlie Brennan's intern many, many years ago on Camo X. He was a Fox correspondent and reporter for a while. I think he might have even had his own weekend show. He's now a host at News Nation. And he's a St. Louis native. And I did not know this, but Leland is on the autism spectrum. And he has written a book, and he's going to join us Friday night to talk about his brand new book. We're going to take you into the weekend that way. Tomorrow, Bill DeWitt III at 3:18. Dan Reardon's going to join us with a Ryder Cup preview at 5:30 tomorrow night. I heard from a listener earlier this week in an email that was quite disturbing about something that's happening in the Wentzville School District. And, you know, Sue, I've highlighted some of the nonsense that's gone on in Kirkwood comes to mind, unfortunately, in the last couple of years and some of the other stuff. This one sounds kind of sad overall. Jessica LeMaster is with us. She's a certified special ed advocate in St. Charles County. We're going to try not to use the name of the student here because he's a minor. But Jessica, thanks for reaching out and thanks for coming on this evening on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
So some of the details in this email certainly caught my attention, but how would you start telling this story of this young man who also is a student that has some special ed and some disabilities, correct?
Yes. So he is a student with identified disabilities. He has an IEP and protections under IDEA, which is a federal law, and Section 504 and so forth. I've actually been contemplating all day how to fit everything into a short time.
There's a lot here. Well, we have a little time, but I know there's a lot to this story.
There is.
So where would you start?
Kind of like the beginning of how we got to where we are now.
Okay.
So I have been heavily involved since February when the initial start of everything took place. So in February, this student was arrested in school during actually a math test that he didn't get to complete. So he was arrested in front of his peers and held in juvie for over a month for what has been found as false allegations that has been proven.
What kind of allegations? Yeah. These were assault or sexual assault allegations. We got to make sure that we're as specific as we can be.
Yes. So it was alleged sexual offense.
Yeah.
That the alleged offense apparently took place in October. So fast forward to February, that's when that arrest happened because of the alleged in October.
And then the alleged, just to be clear here, the alleged event did not happen at the school or during school hours, correct?
No. So the process for special education is whenever there is a disciplinary incident or a student is removed from the education building, there's processes, which is a manifestation determination review meeting, an MDR. So we actually had the MDR closely following the arrest, and it was ironic because we're in there and the district staff flat out says, well, this actually has nothing to do with school, so we can't say that this is due to the school not following his IEP or anything. But they did list it under the Safe School Act. So the district then imposed a 37-day suspension, citing felony charges.
Okay.
Even though the alleged conduct had no connection to school or school policy. Under this law, the districts may suspend a student charged with a felony, but they are not required to, especially when a student poses no threat and the incident was off campus.
Right, but you let me stop you right there, because I know that there's questions about what was proven and what wasn't proven. I can certainly understand why, if there's a serious allegation that's presented to me as an administrator in a school, and if I feel like bringing the student back into classes could potentially harm other students, then I'd probably want to do something about it.
Yes, you would.
But
the issue with it, we'll get to at the end.
Yes. But there's a big but there, right? Because the continue the story. We'll get to that part, I guess.
So there's also FERPA, which is a federal law that states so there was a FERPA violation. So even after the court dismissed the case, the district refused to remove the disciplinary code from his educational record, despite the family's request through a FERPA hearing. The district claimed it accurately reflects the suspension occurred under the Safe School Act, but FERPA also protects against maintaining misleading or stigmatizing records.
Okay.
So then we also have been navigating issues with Title IX retaliation.
Before I get to that, let's go back to the case. You're claiming, I'm going to have to take your word on this, that the criminal case was dismissed and that the allegations were actually proven false?
Yes, by over 500 pages of evidence that supports it was false.
Okay, so when is the case dismissed? When was that? When did that happen?
That was in March.
Okay, in March. But your case to me in the email is, even though that happened and you have, you know, some questionable things that maybe were draped around this particular, you know, incident becoming an arrest and then, you know, juvie and all this other stuff, that in the aftermath of that, that this student has also been targeted for the accusations that were proven false.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, still to this day, like even as of Friday, this past Friday.
Being abused by other students, you're claiming?
So verbally harassed, and like this past Friday, there was an incident where I actually went and picked him up from school because he was in a class with another student who is a known student. The school knows that this student has been verbally harassing him consistently since the allegations. And there was a hot glue involved to where it melted his shirt. It was a big part of it. It melted his shirt to him. The district then, so what he did, he didn't hit him, nothing. He picked the student up and moved him out of his bubble. And he got 2 days of in-school suspension when the person that intentionally tried to burn him with the hot glue got 1 day of in-school suspension.
And you're claiming they didn't even send him to the nurse at the time as well after
they
that.
Did not, okay. Yes. And I asked staff that when I picked him up. Was he checked out by nurse or anything? And I was told no.
So what's the end game? We reached out to the school district, to Wentzville. They did not respond. But obviously you have concerns here as an advocate that this kid's being, you know, still abused. He has, you know, disabilities already. He's been traumatized. The district has not shown as much concern as they should with safety. The only reason that that resonates with me is I've seen this pattern happen in these school districts, and it's kind of amazing to me the way they double down on some of this stuff. But from the other perspective, people would say, well, wait a second here, Jessica, this sounds crazy. Why in the world would this happen if the kid's been, you know, proven that the allegations were false? Why wouldn't the school want to get involved and do something to protect him?
Well, that's why we're here, because that's my question. Like, and honestly, I would think on the outside looking in, if I didn't know what I know, or if I hadn't experienced across multiple districts the crazy experiences and issues that students and families face.
Oh, I know. I've covered
some
of them.
I would be like, you're crazy.
So why do you think that happens? Because there's a process here. The lawyers get involved. The administrators get very nervous. Mm-hmm. They try to, you know, in some cases do the most politically correct thing. But is there something that fits that pattern? Because it's the exact opposite of what you might expect in a situation like this, especially involving students.
Yes. So what I believe, which doesn't make it factual, but what I think for why this happens the way it does consistently is because the districts want to save face. They want to save their face. They want to, even if they know they made a mistake or if they handled something wrong, it is easier just to stick with it and not admit to the mistake rather than correct it for everyone.
Which is so shocking when schools are involved. But I've seen this exist. I've seen this pattern, you know, and I mentioned Kirkwood. There was an incident from the last couple of years that I highlighted. A couple, actually. Well, listen, keep us posted on this. Again, I reached out to Wentzville. If there's another side to this story, I'm certainly open to hear about it. But you're at the point, where does this sit right now? You're still trying to get some attention and for the school district to act a little bit more responsibly in this situation?
Yeah. I mean, he's still being harassed, called a predator, a rapist, all of these things, and it's still continuing. Like, and districts aware of it. It's happening during school, during classes, and he still shows up every single day and tries to do his best. He's on extracurricular activities. His teammates held phones in his face, acting like they were recording, saying, hey, tell us what it's like to rape little girls. And coaches were right there, and they didn't stop not one player. They did not stop any of it.
That's mind-boggling, if true. It really is.
It is.
It's crazy.
And it's the ongoing harm of it. But not only that, his record. So high school, your transcript follows you, right? So it goes with you everywhere, whether it's for a job, post-secondary education, military, any of it. And they had the chance to correct it, his record and everything, and they refused.
So why are you the one taking point on this, Jessica? Where are the parents? Where is the student's parents?
So I am very, very close with the parents, and I'm speaking on behalf of them because of personal retaliation, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of how to word it, but the more attention they bring to it, the more retaliation they have experienced.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point in my life to where retaliate against me. That's okay.
Yeah. Well,
because what's best for the student is what's best for the student.
Well, keep us posted. It's kind of a crazy story. And, you know, these are the kind of stories that make me scratch my head and say, what am I missing here? So I feel like I'm almost missing a component, but we'll track down information if we can on our end, and you keep us posted, okay?
I will do that
right.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Zero tolerance law, to answer your question, that is actually what makes it possible for districts to continue it. I couldn't think of the name of it.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, so, this lady said we don't have no tolerance for it. Yeah, but that doesn't address the issue of coaches and other teachers and administrators getting involved when there's retaliation, right? Obviously, there should be zero tolerance for that as well. Jessica LeMaster, thank you. I appreciate it.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.